on the suggestion, and I want to put it on record, because a very unfortunate impression is created that our agenda items were not in a row. But we adjourned the meeting on the suggestion and agreement of all members. And all members were comfortable. Not even a single political party represented in this committee raised an objection to the adjournment of the meeting yesterday. And I would just appeal that as we move forward, we be also genuine with ourselves as we communicate what is happening in the committee outside there, so that we don't then send different signals which are not necessarily a true reflection of what happens in the life of the committee. And yesterday, at the point of our adjournment, we were at a point when we were looking at the bill generally. We are aware, of course, that this exercise, and I think we must all understand what the intention of this exercise is all about. It is a simple internal parliamentary legal process where, as members of the committee, we are engaging amongst ourselves. And then at a point when we are satisfied as members of the committee, whether we agree or disagree on issues that we might have raised, we would then afford ourselves an opportunity to compile our report and give to the department and say, listen, this is what we think as a committee. Can you then respond to this? What do you mean? I mean, it does not necessarily mean that if we had agreed as a committee on or with a suggestion that says that includes must mean that we are agreed. What if the department then comes back and convinces us otherwise, then what? And gives a compelling reason for us to really reflect on those issues and see them as valuable reasons for us to consider as we move forward. So I'm just raising this thing that if Honorable Chan agrees with Honorable Worth, we shouldn't be excited about it. There's no need for us to be excited about it. See the process. I know Honorable Gunda is interested on the 17th. Can't wait for the 17th what is it, May? Yeah, 17th of... But I just thought that I must clarify members so that what we communicate out there shouldn't create an environment of further confusion amongst our people on what is happening inside here. You must remember that our responsible behavior out there is very important and vital, because those people who had an opportunity to engage with us during the public hearings and so forth are not here now. They rely on what we then communicate out there. And if we continue confusing them, it means that we are sending the wrong message and we are not honest with them. Because I can imagine if the product is different from what you might have communicated out of your own excitement. That includes me as well, on what then I communicate out there. So we are at this stage where we left off yesterday, Honorable Members, and I would therefore in officially now allowing members to further engage. I don't know who's prepared to take us. I have Honorable Bloom and Honorable Chan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, you know, I and my party will contain ourselves. Sorry, Mama.
You are protected, Honorable Plume. Oh.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. No, Chair, I am saying we will confine ourselves to two very important submissions on this bill. We had this public hearings and what? And we will concentrate on the document of Advocate George Bizot, and then we will also confine ourselves on SANEF and Print Media South Africa on their submission. You know what? The submission of what Advocate George Bizot has said, and I think that is why we will focus and concentrate on that. I will read to you on paragraph 4 what they said in their submission, the oral submission in there. They are saying, we raise the following 7 points which we believe could assist in alleviating the bone of contention raised against the bill, and then the 7 points. Now the first point is the bill does not include a public interest defense, and that is all the presenters came up with that thing here in Parliament. Now that is where we are going to focus on. Chair, if I may start, I am not going to go through the entire bill. We have identified some areas where we think we will start, and that is on 11. Can I continue? No. I must get indication from
giving you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Chairperson, section 11. We are having amendments on that thing. Chapter 11. It reads the state. Information is classified by, it starts like that. Now section 11, method of classification state information. Chairperson, with A, a classification authority has identified state information in terms of this act as state information. Now, we are saying, and that, on careful consideration and sound legal grounds, warrants classification. We are bringing in on careful consideration and sound legal grounds. Chairperson, the reason why we are saying that, and I wouldn't go with all of them. I've just started. You see, on careful consideration and sound legal grounds, you must consider this thing very, very well. And you must also have legal opinion when you classify this document. That is the motivation.
This is 11.8. Okay,
maybe
okay.
Maybe take you
can.
You. No, I have it. It's
yeah.
That I wanted to.
Yeah.
Just for purpose of my clarity, I'm sure for other members as well. Does this therefore mean that as code, you are satisfied with all these chapters? Yours is chapter 5 now, and then 2 of the other chapters.
Chair, I have
said, I'm trying to avoid a situation where
we are jumping around.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I can propose something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we
finish this one first, and then because I've already allowed you to speak,
yes.
You can finish this, and then we go back to the way we would have ordinarily.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree, Chair. Okay. I agree. Then we are not jumping around from page 1 to what. Yeah. No, that is my input, Chair. And it's open for discussion. That is the amendment that we are bringing in as scope.
Are you done?
Yes, Chair. On this one. Yeah. On yeah.
I had thought of a time.
No, thanks, Chair. I take it, Chair, if I'm listening well, that because Honorable Bloom was jumping into those areas inside, we start from the beginning and move. Raise issues that we have on those area sections of the bill. Okay. If that is the understanding, Chair. Let me start. I will just also, from this side, Chair, raise issues that we believe are issues that would require the consideration of this committee in terms of strengthening and addressing the concerns as received from members of the public at large. I will refer to page, if you may just be able to, page 5. Of the bill under definition and going straight to line number 35. It will be desirable, Chair, that we, the definition head of organ of state. It would be desirable, Chair, that we consider the deletion of Part B, and in doing so, linking this with, because it will have consequential effects, dealing with this with other areas as we move along in the bill, that seeks to include, because our concern is the inclusion of municipalities as state organs that would or would likely to be getting delegation and authorization to classify certain information. It is our view that while the intention might be good, but there might be abuse of that if we extend it to that, and perhaps consideration should be to the extent of limiting the responsibility of classifying of information to those institutions that are seized with that responsibility. The security cluster, the intelligence and the agencies, all those that are currently doing that kind of a function. And so that it removes the element of improper delegation if it is extended to almost all organs of state. I think in our view it's not desirable that such should be extended to all organs of state as defined by the Constitution. Hence our submission that this is one area that we should be engaging with. And if I may pass, go to the following page. Page Yes.
Okay. Chairman, the process, I just need clarity on it. What's happening is we've had one amendment proposed, another amendment proposed, and are we just going to run through all the amendments through the whole bill and not debate them at all until we've done that process, or are we going to debate each amendment as it's raised, or what is? I just need clarity on the process to be put.
Honourable Bill?
Okay. If I can help. I think that Mr. Chani have corrected me to say no, don't jump to that one. Let's start from the beginning. And I have conceded to say no, it's fine, because he's at page 5 and I was at page 9 or whatever. And I agree with this process. If we come there to my submission, then we will do it. Thank you.
Honourable Dolambi and then Honourable Kunda.
Chair, to the question that was asked by Honourable Lee, I propose that we look at the first page where the amendments in page, let's say page 5, Honourable Chana says here and close this or line whatever. Then we discuss that page and move to the next one so that we don't do a to and fro.
Are we agreed?
Yes.
And maybe just to... Okay. Let me... Because I was just worried, you know, when honorable members amendment. He's a proposer. He will only become amendment because we might not even agree to pass them for further engagement later. As we move forward.
For instance, there are any other members or party who have anything on that page where we were, so that we then deal with a particular page. So that if Honorable Lee says, for instance, I have problems with B whilst you are now on page 6, then it doesn't defeat the purpose. But if we can get other submissions now, as what other proposals are there on that particular page, it will take us forward.
Madam Officer, are you okay? Maybe just to caution, we shouldn't be just. You see, Honourable, you are absolutely correct. I would agree with you. Yeah? But we need to bear with each other, Honourable Lee and Honourable Kunda. Honorable Lee and Honorable Kuni. We must also just bear with ourselves in that as we proceed, some other issues as we engage with them might have implications on definition. So we might still be at page 17, but on the basis of your argument, your argument might be affirmed or defeated by a definition. You shouldn't stop us too. But we shouldn't be too stringent to ourselves. But once we're done and agreed with chapter 1, it's fine. Honorable Gunda, you have something to say?
No, Chair, I was covered by the Chief Whip. Thank you.
Honorable Lee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposed amendment to delete that particular paragraph does make some sense, but it's consequential in the sense that exactly what you're saying, if one then defines an organ of state, here talking about the head of an organ of state, if one then defines an organ of state as including a municipality, then we have to identify who is the head of that organ of state. So what I'm saying is that as a consequence of deleting this particular paragraph, you would then have to amend the definition of organ of state to exclude municipalities. And I'd be happy to do that. I think it's probably the right thing to do. So there's a consequence there, exactly what you're talking about. So we must bear that in mind. So on that basis, you know, we can go along with it, but as long as we get to the other, to the consequential amendments that will flow out of it, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Chairman. I don't have anything else on page one.
Maybe one way of dealing with it, instead of saying delete, we might flag it as an issue that might need further clarification by the department. Because if that is then the consequential effect of that proposed division, it is also going to have other consequential implications even on the Constitution. On how, for instance, the Constitution defines an organ of state. So it might be that on issues that has got serious implications on even our Constitution, that we agree to say, okay, we're still going to have the department to come and respond to us and clarify us on why they arrived at this particular conclusion. But we raise it as an issue to be considered. Okay, can we agree on that? Okay. Honorable Blue?
I wanted to support. You see, Mr. Chani has said he is proposing an amendment or a deletion of this bill. And I fully agree with him. You see, I'm very much sure that Mr. Chani has applied the bill's mind. He went through the bill. This bill, and I'm 100% sure that he will never make it this proposal.
Honorable Bloom, what are you saying?
Sorry.
What? No. Let's stop everything. Let's get to the issue.
Chair,
do you agree?
Chair, I'm responding to what you have said now. You see, a concrete proposal of a deletion is a proposal, and I support that proposal.
But you're not opposed to the view that says we can still seek more clarity or further engagement with the department. It's a process matter. Okay. All right. Fine. If we agree then on that one, can we then get to the next chapter? That would be okay.
Chairman, I'm sorry, I thought we were dealing with it on a page-by-page basis, is what I thought. I'm so sorry. Maybe I've... But then if it's not chapter-by-chapter, then I've got a lot more to say.
I think the chief was saying that if there's anybody who's got issues on this chapter... Or is it a page? Oh, okay. All right, next chapter. I thought Honorable... No, you know, the reason why I'm so much into chapters, because I thought yesterday Honorable Lee exhausted the issues that he wanted to raise. Are those now afterthoughts now? But it's fine. Honorable, let me take Honorable Chani first before you come.
No, thanks, Chair. I think we'll be the first one to sum it up well. For consideration, yes. The second page six, still under definition, line number 25, national security, the definition thereof, we propose that the word include be replaced by the word means, so that it removes that broad definition, because if it says include, it gives the meaning, the interpretation that there is all other things that form part of that definition in addition to this one. So to remove that element of it being overbroad, that's requesting consideration
of replacing the word include with be. That will be the only thing one proposed on that page.
Another one blue, and then one will leave.
No, again I want to support.
I want to support that wording of that. I just want to give support on that. Thanks.
Not a free state thing.
He's not from the free state. That one with the state of the
state. Any other thing under that page? Honorable Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, I need some clarity. If you're happy that what I said yesterday has been recorded and it goes forward, then I don't need to repeat that. You're happy with that. Okay. Mr. Chairman, it is, if you like, an afterthought, although it actually isn't. It's an omission on my part. It probably falls under the question of the definition of organ of state at the lower end of page 6, line 51, but it's not specific. Chairman, we believe that the bill has been incorrectly tagged, and we need to put that on record so that you don't. No one comes along later and says, why did you waste our time with amendments when you could have pointed out to us there was a problem. So the bill has been dealt with in terms of Section 75 of the Constitution. It is our opinion that the provisions of the bill that deal with archives, other than the National Archive, are either matters beyond the competence of Parliament and are therefore invalid, or if they are within the competence of Parliament, then they should have been dealt with in terms of 76 of the Constitution. And we would request that State Law Advisor advise the committee on that particular issue. So the bill includes provincial archives, and so perhaps in terms of the definition of organ of state, there's an issue to be dealt with. But Mr. Chairman, having added that, then I'm happy that we proceed on the basis of what we tabled yesterday. Mr. Chairman, I think it's more of a general comment in the sense that what we don't want to be accused of is wasting the committee's time deliberating on a bill that has been incorrectly tagged, and then we have to start the whole process again. So, you know, we could play a political game, Mr. Chairman, and come back at the end of it when we don't get what we want and say, well, in any event, you've got to start this process again. And we don't want to play that game, Mr. Chairman. So we're just putting it on the table that we have this concern about the tagging of the bill as a Section 75 bill.
But, you see, that's what I want to avoid, generalization, so that we don't run the risk of arriving at incorrect conclusions. The bill does make reference to the National Archive. And its reference to the National Archive is in relation to the National Archive Act of 1996. And if then any reference is made, especially in a general sense, that seeks to create doubt, I think it is only fair that we are pointed to those issues so that we deal with it. Because taking now, you are raising another thing now. You are raising a totally different issue with regard to the taking of the act. So I just hope that we are clear. If it's a general point that is irrelevant but is important according to you, fine, part of politicking, But if it has to do with a contravention of a particular act, then we need to speak to that act. And the one that I have before me, it has got not. I can't see. I've been trying to look at what the... Yes, here it is. Line 15 or 19 there. National Archives means the National Archives and Record Services of South Africa, established by Section 2 of the National Archives and Record Services of South Africa, Act of 1996, Act 43 of 1996, which is the one that I have before me. And it has got no basis or relevance to the argument raised by Honorable Lee. So I just thought that as we move forward, we don't confuse issues. And end up creating a... Or maybe I don't understand you, Honorable Lee. Can you clarify?
Jim, you don't understand, but it's not your fault, it's my fault. I'm not making myself clear, and I apologize to you and the committee for that. And unfortunately, it brings us back to page 5, and you'll note that under the definition of archive, it reads, means the national archive of any archive established in terms of... Sorry, line 10.
Chapter 1.
Okay, page 5. Archive means the national archive or any archive established in terms of a provincial law and includes any archive kept by an organ of state. And an organ of state then is defined later. Please accept my apology, Mr. Chairman. It is not politicking. It's a genuine attempt to ensure that we deal with this bill in a comprehensive and thorough way.
But we also agree, once we read that definition, are we in agreement with the definition as it relates to the Act of 96? Because the Act of 96 then would establish your archive and even processes of record keeping. Are we agreed on that?
You're looking at me and I'm afraid I'm not...
Sorry. Maybe I'm too angry, man.
I don't want to have a one-on-one with you. And I have limitations on my legal ability, Mr. Chairman, and you're referring to an act I haven't looked at.
Let's leave it there for now. But let's not be conclusive on it. Okay? All right. Chief, if you had your hand up, Honorable Donald. Can you see?
I'm saying, Chair, you've now made a ruling, and I wanted to speak before you made the ruling. Chair, if you look at the bill and the intention of the bill, it has no real effect to A76 of the Constitution whatsoever, because it has no competence of any municipality or province. Yes, it refers to organs of state and it would refer... It merely defines what an organ of state is when it mentions municipalities, but no municipality would be dealing with the issues we're dealing with here. So the bill in its form, or in its tagging as it is still correct. And I only want to check, whilst I want to agree with you, but I don't have to flag everything. Well, we really must argue and say, no, it's not possible. The bill is a 75. It deals with issues of national competence only.
All right. Honorable Chan?
No, Chair, I am sufficiently covered by the Chief. I think the element of taking as raised by Honorable Liz doesn't have a place whatsoever. So the bill is correctly tested as far as you are concerned.
All right. Can you then get to page 7?
Did you say
Exactly.
So far, the only thing that we have flagged is the definition of organ of state, insofar as it refers to municipality.
On page 7, still under definition, I've got three submissions that we would want to throw in for consideration and engagement. The one relates to the definition of state information. Propose that the state information it should read as follows. State information means information generated, acquired, or received by organs of state or in the possession or control of organs of state, including valuable information. So the part that started including the new, completely new part. Including valuable information, personal information, and sensitive information. The reason why we are proposing this is because you'd realize that in the bill itself, there's quite a number of definitions. State information is defined as such, and then you find valuable information being also defined and so on and so forth. So that's why we are proposing the inclusion of that, so that all that information that will be dealt with in terms of this act is sufficiently expressed in that particular definition of as outlined. And then, should I read the second one, or should I wait for...
Honorable Gunda?
Chair, I just want Honorable Chana to read the last part of to include what about the value information or what?
Including valuable information, personal information, and sensitive information.
I will propose that let's park it and debate it later. Let me personally apply my mind to that one.
Chairman, clearly this is one that we can't go along with, primarily because we have proposed yesterday that the whole question of valuable information be removed from the bill. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, personal information, if I'm correct, and I'm very seldom correct, but sometimes I am, personal information is being dealt with in terms of the Personal Information Bill, which is, I think, before the NA at the moment. A Protection of Personal Information Bill, or something, I forget the correct one. So you know, I we'll park it if that's the decision of the committee, but I just, on record, we no matter what debate takes place around that, we need to first of all be convinced about the inclusion of valuable information at all, and then the question of whether personal information has been dealt with in terms of another bill before Parliament. No, thank you, Chair. The reason why I asked Honorable Chairman to complete that sentence is quite for the simple thing that we really need to apply our minds on how do we see both this personal information and this sensitive information. It can become a very long debate on those issues. So I would also agree with Honorable Bloom. Can we just pass it and come back to it later on? Then we just apply our minds and see how far this can go. Please, Chair.
Honorable Mazotio? Oh, did you have Honorable Chan?
Che, while acknowledging the request for parking, but I just wanted to test that as they apply their minds, you also apply on that. I want to check as to whether the problem from the side of Honorable Lee relates only to personal information. The rest you don't have a problem with.
Chairman, it is not just the personal information, it's also the valuable information. I haven't applied my mind to the question of the sensitive information, but we have already proposed that valuable information be removed from the bill in toto. So it is at least the two categories.
Honourable
Chair, okay, I'll proceed with your permission.
Okay.
On the same page, Chair, we would not agree, or we don't agree now, unless otherwise convinced, that valuable information should be deleted, as it has been indicated by Honorable Lee, but rather would propose consideration of the following formulation, that valuable information, and I'll indicate when I come to a completely new area. Valuable information contemplated in this act whose unlawful alteration, destruction, or loss is likely to, the part I'm going to read is new, to infringe on the constitutional rights and deny constitutional rights of the public or individuals, full stop, and delete the part of a service or benefit to which they are entitled. And if you allow me, Chair, I'll read it again.
No, it seems like everybody got it. Agree. Or you want him to read it?
The valuable information means information contemplated in this act whose unlawful alteration, destruction, or loss is likely to, and now I'm putting you away, infringe on the constitutional rights and then delete, deny, off, and put off the, and then the republic, the public or individuals. And after individuals, you put full stop and delete of a service or benefit to which they are entitled. So in other words, it will read, if I read, say it without, it will read, valuable information means information contemplated in this act whose unlawful alteration, destruction, or loss is likely to infringe on the constitutional rights of the public or individuals, full stop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When one's setting up a definition, one sets up a definition so that people who have to deal with this bill come later act, deal with it as it, what the intention was with from the legislature. So I'm battling to understand what an example of such information might be. Just one example of information that is likely to infringe on the constitutional rights of the public or an individual. I'm not sure, you know, what we're talking about. Yeah, if I were an official now who had to apply this, I don't think it would be entirely clear.
Honorable Chan?
Chair, if I go to Honorable Lee's question, let me, just by way of example, without concretizing, let's say for an example, my ID is a valuable information. And it is also the responsibility of the state to handle that information regarding that. And then, for whatever reason, somebody have access to it, not from me, in the state record, alter it, and then let me say I've applied and it was intercepted before I can reach it. There are a number of rights that I stand to enjoy and benefit, but only if I can show proof with my identity document. And then somebody just alter that information, remove my photo and put this photo and do this and then do that. That infringes on my constitutional rights because one, I will remain without an ID because my record has been altered. I will not have, I will not be able to secure a job. I will not be able to get any other thing that I licenses, whatever that I need to get using that kind of a document because somebody else has decided to alter and whatever. I'm just thinking, it might be a few examples, but I'm just saying if you have to put that as a point for you to understand what you are trying to say. I hope I make sense on that. Thank you, sir.
Chairman, he does make sense.
Oh. I disagree with the...
You still want to come in on
that? I just wanted to say, in short, an ID as a document is not protected, but the information behind the ID should be protected. That means nobody should be able to know what is behind my ID number with so many things that are there, my marital status, whatever, and everything. So I just wanted to bring that in so that he realizes how important it is to make sure that that information behind my ID is protected. Thank you.
Hello.
I don't have a problem. But you see, I will have a problem if we define ourselves to ID. You know, maybe.
Honorable Kunda is not here.
No.
There's nothing left. No.
No, sir. Maybe we must also define what is valuable information. You see, we can't go with one example and say this is the example. I will support it when we are defining and say valuable information such as this. Maybe not in here, in regulation.
Okay. I don't see. Yeah. You know, this reminds me of something very interesting, Honorable Bloom.
Yes.
You know, when I got my first identity document,
yeah.
I think I was doing Senate 8 or so. No. Yeah, man, I guess it was a late day for you. So, one of the things that we were taught on that document was the numbers after the best date and blah, blah, blah. And I can't remember what those numbers meant, but those numbers means a lot. And not only for me, but to the state as well. So that is state information. Okay. All right. Honorable Chan.
same page. I'm just left with two items on that same page. The one is quick. The state security measure, as done in the previous page, includes should be replaced by means. I think the motivation is still the same, like what I said with the other part. Yeah. State security matter means instead of include. Instead of include. Yeah. I'm just being consistent with. And then the last. Should I pass, Chair, on that one? The last one, Chair. Is the subsection 4. Yeah. The last part of under definition 4, under definition, the last 4, the 4 there. In respect of the one that studies, in respect of we would want a situation where we strike a balance between this and the Protection Promotion of Access to Information Act. Now, whilst let me read the formulation, then we can apply our minds. We suggest that it reads as, in respect of classified state information, and despite Section 5 of Promotion of Access to Information Act, this act prevails if there is a conflict between the provision of this act and a provision of another act of parliament that regulates access to state information. I'm sorry, to classify state information. Let me read it, the new formulation, without referring to the legal. In respect of the classified state information, this act prevails if there is a conflict between provision of this act and a provision of another act of parliament that regulates access to classified state information.
Honourable Brooke. I will request maybe if Mr. Chani can give us his proposal. I'm having a document here, and then we can go. We will go with you with the amendments and everything. You see, it's very difficult now. You are reading it. You are having the formulation there. In front of you, I am saying that my proposal is that Mr. Chani must give us his proposal, even if it is not now, but later on. But I won't agree with your amendment. I won't agree with this one, that this act will prevail, and higher come second and any other. No, I wouldn't agree with that.
Honorable Kunda.
Yes, Chair. Now, I think we must understand this one thing, Chair, that we can't agree that this act must prevail over SPIRE and supersede SPIRE. I mean, then it becomes unconstitutional.
Honorable Chief.
When honorable members haven't heard properly, they must ask one to repeat. But at no stage did Honorable Chani even mention PAIA in his proposal. the way Honorable Kunda is saying. Honorable Kunda, listen properly. Honorable Chani says, and he read, in respect of classified information, and he included state information, in fact. I am now making another mistake. And despite Section 5 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act, out now. Yeah. That's what he said. Are we to continue? This act prevails if there is a conflict between a provision of this act and a provision of another act of parliament that regulates access to classified state information.
Even if you put it that way, it still comes in conflict with fire. It still, if you can read that act of fire, it just was, even if you put it that way, it still comes in conflict with fire. And we can't have something that prevails over fire. That's wrong, sir.
By the way, hold it, Honorable Parliament, as you engage, you must also clarify. You must also seek to clarify. This is a generalization. It's in conflict. It doesn't assist me as well. I'm not trying to try to put you in a corner. But equally so, if you can assist me as well. Because in some instances, I'll have to summarize the discussions and so forth. And if you can't assist me, Honorable Gunda, it might make my life a little bit difficult as we move forward. Let me take Honorable Dwanambe and Honorable Lee.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on Honorable Gunda's argument, I want to get clarity through you, Chair, from him as to where it concerns FIRE, because FIRE doesn't necessarily deal with issues of state information. And Honorable Gunda must explain to us how it comes that there's now contravention and where it is in either of these two.
Honorable Kula. Chair, state information, that's how I understand it. FIRE is that it's a law, it's an act to access information. If we say state information, what kind of state information? Which state information?
For capital authority as well. If I heard properly, I heard classified state information. Classified state information. So if maybe I can also be assisted as you counter the argument, it might also help me. Honorable listen and you'll come back.
Mr. Chairman, the question then is information as defined in the PIRE Act, does it include the so-called state information? And whether it's classified or not doesn't matter. State information, some is classified, some is not classified. And so in our opinion, PIRE covers all information, whether it is valuable information, classified state information, unclassified state information, personal information, information of companies that can be justifiably accessed. All information is covered by FIRE, is our understanding of FIRE. And therefore, state information, whether classified or not, falls under the ambit of FIRE.
Yes.
Send your cook at home. Look, Chair. If there was that, then there wouldn't have been a need to further an act on that. But then it says there's some loophole here, and we're trying to cover up on that as well. Not cover up, but to make sure that we will meet that as well. here, Chair, we are dealing with not general information. PAIA is specific to issues of information, not classified state information. Those are two. Another amount of order, Honorable Kunda.
Honorable Kunda?
No, Chief, I'm not seeing out of order. Just wait for him to speak after you finish. That's all.
I'm saying, Chair, you know, here we deal with issues of state information. PAIA is there so that you can access information as you want it, because that's not classified. There would be a process, and not a simpler process the way you would definitely, in whether this or any other government for that matter, there wouldn't be just a simple process to access information, state classified information. That is why we have this bill. And I don't think we should make things so difficult such that we don't understand what we're doing here.
Now, Chair, let me just read in Chapter 3 in the Government Gazette of February 2012. Let me just read this act, the object of this act. This concerning PAIA.
PAIA.
The object of this act are to give effect to the constitutional right of access to 1. Any information held by the state. It's chapter 3, yeah. Any information held by the state. And 2, and any information that is held by another person and that is required of the exercise or protection of any right to give effect to that right. I'm just reading that part. That's what I'm saying to you, Chair. We're going to stand on this thing the whole evening. The PAIA Act. I don't think you... page 10 of the Government Gazette of February 2000. I'm reading this one here. 2000. Yes, in Chapter 3, Section 9. To give effect to that right, subject to justifiable limitation, including, but not limited to, limitations aimed at the reasonable protection of privacy, commercial confidentiality, and effective, efficient, and good governance. My argument, Chair, what I'm trying to make here, my argument is, whether it says classified state information, we first need to define what is classified state information before we can agree with something like we must have this and overseas and this act prevails. The minute we say this act prevails and there is an existing act that is recognized by the Constitution, it can become and be declared unconstitutional. The minute we say that, because we did not define in this committee yet what is classified state information. We did not.
Thank you, Chairperson, very much. You see, in reading the proposed bill together with other acts that are there, including PAIA, as well as the Constitution itself, because the Constitution does, refer to the creation of a balance between access to information and the interest of the state to protect that information. We should always bear that in mind. And if we are talking about PAIA, we should not talk about PAIA as if there are no limitations. There are limitations. And what this provision, the proposed provision, seeks to do actually trying to smoothen the role of PAIA, bring it back again. Remember, initially, it was saying it will supersede PAIA. Now we're trying to smoothen it, to bring back the role of PAIA, such that it deals with other access to information. Because we believe that PAIA is not good enough to deal with classified state information. This is what we're arguing, basically. Bringing back PAIA as in recognition to the provisions of the Constitution. This is what we're referring to, the unconstitutionality of the matter, et cetera, et cetera. We've brought it back, in a way. This is what we're doing. That's how we interpret it, so that we don't have a provision any longer that says it supersedes PAIA. Thank you, sir.
Chair, I just want to say this, that we shouldn't be wasting time as though this is the first time we see this bill. The accusation by Honorable Gunda that as a committee we did not define classified state information is totally incorrect. Maybe he was not there through the processes, but as I remember well, we talked about this, for the department came to us and we talked about it, we questioned. So if we don't have anything to say, let us not lie about what the committee has or has not done. It will take us back. I was just cautioning that. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, I stand under correction. But I disagree with Honorable Brothers just said now. In this committee, even yesterday, we had some things to be defined. National security. All I'm saying, if we have defined what is state, classified state information, what is it that we say? What is classified state information? That we must be very clear on that issue, Chair. And the other thing is, Chair, yes, the Constitution said there must be a balance between the acts. Yes, we agree with that. But, Chair, we can't have something in the Constitution. And then we bring another bill, and then we say this bill prevails. How do we balance the things now? So, what I'm saying, we can try something and come back to it and come and define it so that we can get an appointment, we can agree with one another. What do we really say? What do we really want to say in this? It's not that everything is cast in stone. No, we must still come back and answer this thing. What I'm saying is that just the way it's been reading now, the way it's been put to us now as a proposal, I don't agree with that proposal. Thank you, John.
No, that's fine. And yes, and as we do that, let's always not lose sight of the objectives of the bill. As we do that, Honorable Bloom.
No, I wanted to say, Chair. You see, I have said we must define what is state classified state information. I'm not going to bog us down onto this. Let us pass this one as well, and continue with other things, and then we will see. But my proposal still stands that Mr. Chani must give us this amendment in writing, so that we can spare a lot of time if we have it. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Chair.
No, thanks. I think on the issue of the matter that we're discussing, one will afford colleagues that space to so that we apply our minds and they do that. But with regard to the proposal, Chair, I think Honorable Bloom shouldn't worry much about wanting to have side of the document, because it's a lot of notes on it. So But I think in the spirit of your opening, as you, because the secretary is writing all these things that you are raising, all of us. And then we'll get that, and then we'll ultimately all be working on one document now as we finalize the process. So I was saying we should relax in terms of that proposal. We're still going to get it. No, I take note of the submission of code. Can I go to page 8?
Sure.
If there are no others.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 7, paragraph 2F, yesterday I got as far as 1-4, and now move on to objects of act. In terms of our proposal that valuable information should not be part of this bill, then 2F, which in our opinion deals with valuable information, should be removed. So I wish to table that 2F to be removed or deleted or scrapped, whatever term. Chairman, in our opinion, it doesn't deal with national security. It deals with valuable information and therefore is not relevant in terms of the Act if we finally agree that valuable information is removed. No, it's not agreed to yet. Well, we could.
But I would have wanted to speak on the earlier matter. I'll speak to the Chair, I just want to caution. I agree, let's pack, but you see, let's check when we pack. When there's disagreement, let it be disagreement. Not always pack. Pack would be coming back. Do we go back to disagreement? If we disagree forever, what do we do? I really want to know, if I differ with Mr. Lee today, tomorrow, and the 17th of May, what where does it take me? Will you call another committee meeting so that you have now some kind of mediation? No. Let's leave it at that. I'm just cautioning that. Let's note disagreements, maybe, where they are. Let's agree where we think we really still would have wanted to engage further, so that we don't pack everything when we disagree. Where we also think maybe Mr. Lewis is right, he'll sometimes be right. So let me go back to what you said. Describe the name, the object of this act are to describe the nature and categories of state information that may be protected from alteration, destruction, loss, or unlawful disclosure. Is that the sentence, Mr. Lee? And you're saying it doesn't, through your chair, it doesn't deal with issues of state information or protection of that information, or what? Can I get it clear, Chair? I didn't understand you.
Chairman, through you to Honourable Ntuanambi, it, in our opinion, it deals with valuable information, which is a part of this bill, and therefore we'd have to stay here if valuable information stayed, but it doesn't deal with the issues of national security and those definitions, because it's, those are already covered in other definitions.
I disagree with Honorable Liz. Now, I take it that when we're dealing with valuable information, he did realize some sense in the proposal that we're making, although he was not agreed. Now, one would understand he wouldn't agree because he wanted that to be taken out completely. But it would be it would not be completely correct to suggest that valuable information might have nothing to do with state security. If it, one may also demonstrate again, what in a situation where people from outside or from foreign countries, let's go to the extreme and take missionaries, who would have access to certain information and alter its passport, for example, to gain entry in the country to do missionary work. That borders right to the heart of state security. So we should not limit our understanding on state information to as if and trivialize it, because it can lead to that. Hence, we still believe that. Remember, in terms of the Constitution, all information that is in the hands of state, it's state information. Whether you call it sensitive, you call it valuable, you call it whatever, it remains state information. And it needs to be protected in a manner that will not have negative consequences on the security. And I would still insist that in terms of that lousy example I'm citing, it can have unintended consequences if it is abused, that kind of information. We have seen people altering passports to gain access for wrong reasons. It has happened in America when the things were bombed, in any other country. So we are just being proactive as a country as well. Hence, we argue strongly that valuable information, as one information that is in the hands of state, should remain in this state, and therefore there's no need for deletion of F. And I think that Honorable Lisa has already indicated that there's no agreement on that, and then we will withdraw, I'm sure, after this. That's it.
Just my suggestion, it's possible sometimes to organize a state advisor to come to advise our committee, because that debate by this term, I don't think will take us far, will take us in the way forward in the term of discussing the thing, making the debate and the things, maybe is the correct thing, maybe the wrong thing, I don't know, because all of it comes from political parties, maybe gain the call of the politics, but even maybe state advisor help us in this thing.
They'll have their time, Fred. They'll have their time. Where we'll call them and say, can you give us an opinion on this? Give us an opinion on this. Might not necessarily be the state advice, but the parliamentary legal service to then give us an opinion on certain issues. Honorable Mazotti.
You know, Chairperson, I was going to say that maybe what is going to be useful for the purpose of this debate is to perhaps indicate if there are objections to include the valuable information in the bill. Just to be just an explanation, Chairperson, what is going to be harmful in including that category of information in the bill? Are we suddenly going to be in crisis? Because if we simply argue on the basis that we don't want it there, it's really not going to assist the process. Let's hear why it cannot be included. Because I would imagine that those who argue against it, perhaps it would be harmful to include it in this bill. Because I would want to persuade other members to accept that the fact that the word valuable information is included is to take the whole issue at another level, to give it the seriousness it deserves. Because you'd recall that there have been, Jefferson, many incidents where the personal information was used for other means. And what the state is saying with the inclusion of the valuable information is to simply say, let us be serious about personal information. Because remember, the object of the bill itself simply saying it is also to protect the people of this country. You know, the information around the people of this country. We should not lose sight of that fact. And it should be carried throughout the theme of the bill. We can't lose it, you know. I'm Jefferson persuaded to really ask if there's any harm in including the word valuable information. I would submit that there is no harm at all. In fact, it enhances the process. It's taking our people seriously, Jefferson. Thank you.
You'll be the last on it.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, you know, I want to agree on a thing that I will be thoroughly explained. I want to agree. You know what? Valuable is a very broad thing. If Mr. Chan can give us what is valuable information, then you will persuade me to agree on that. But I can't agree on a broad thing. That is my issue. I really want to support it. But if I know what is valuable information, I will support it.
Maybe we must agree to disagree. And because of we know that this is not our last meeting, we'll always continue to persuade each other. because to belabor this issue might not really assist us. I think the argument has been made. because I'm sitting here and listening to what members are saying, I'm asking myself, should I lose my identity document tomorrow and somebody lays his hand on my document and alters my information to a point where he even puts in a gun or whatever, like they said, and he goes and opens a gun shop and stock piles and piles and piles of ammunition there. Legally so. Although he got my document illegally, which is not impossible in South Africa. It has happened before. Honorable Bloom, you would know how many times you've traveled abroad where you pass customs and then they would say you're a terrorist. When in actual fact, in your application to Home Affairs, you never signed any document that says that I'm a terrorist. But your information was altered. It's not your permission. You never gave anybody this permission. And we know of members of parliament. Some of them were even held, what do you call these things, for questioning and all these sorts of things, traveling abroad. Others had to survive because of they were traveling with diplomatic passports. But the original that then comes after. So I'm just trying to make the point that maybe from a personal point or personal experience, we might still continue to share our experiences and persuade one another. And maybe in our next meeting, Honorable Gunda might have a different argument to this whole question of what is valuable and what is not valuable, whether what is valuable is state security, how do you define a state, what is a state, for instance. Because those are some of the things that we really have to give ourselves or apply or allow ourselves to have clarity. How do you characterize a state? Is society not part of the state? Are individual citizens of a country, in terms of the structure of the state, not part of the state? And what then becomes the role of those instruments that theoretically we would ordinarily say this makes up a state, therefore say they are part of the state? I think these are some of the things that we will clarify each other as we move forward. Because that's also one of the things that we might have to come back to in our definitions or whatsoever. I don't know. Our possibility is not going to be to define the state. That's the state. It might assist us a lot. All right. Can we then get to the other issues? Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Before that.
Now, what are we saying about F? If you say we were debating was this F. We pass it.
That's not happening.
No, that's why I'm asking. We will come back to it, yeah. Chair, you see, may I request, you see, I'm pleading for consistency from Honourable Bloom. Honourable Bloom agreed long time ago. Let me remind you. When we were dealing with the definition of valuable information, remember where I was making an example about my ID and Honourable Lee saying, well, it makes sense now, but I don't agree. The valuable. Then you came in and said, no, you agree. But, you said, but, you would want a situation where under regulations, that definition now, documents that falls under that are tabulated. And the chair said, no, he doesn't see a problem with regard to that. You see, so I'm just reminding you of the fact that you agreed. Now, the point that Honorable Lee is raising, chair, he says this F should be deleted, but on condition that we also agree to remove valuable information in this bill. You see? And we disagree with that. We disagree with that. And that is the point that you have supported us on.
I thought that we said we agreed that we disagree.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to persuade one another. Let's not get back to it. let's move forward. Okay, Honourable.
That in future, we will not again ask you for definitions. Because that's how we delay in the meeting as well. Look, the briefings were here. The initial briefings last year, or was it?
January 24th.
Yeah, beginning of this year. We were briefed here. So I don't understand why Honourable members want to be briefed again.
By us.
By us. Now, well, if it's because we have a big house, it's fine. But also, Chair, look, we're from provincial hearings. What were we telling people? We want now all those explanations. What did we explain to people? Let's not play muscle.
Please don't engage with that. Can we move forward?
No, I want to check.
I want to clarify something. Are you giving me a chance? Okay. Yeah. No, I want to clarify something what Mr. Chan has said.
No. Don't respond to what Honorable Chan.
No, but for the record, I have never agreed. I have said that I will agree if they can define what is valuable information.
In the regulation.
In regulation. That is what
fine.
I said.
I've
never agreed on that.
Agreed. Can we move forward? Honorable Chair.
Chair, on page 8, application of the Act, we
propose application of the Act Section 3, Subsection 1 to read the provision of this Act with regard to the protection, the new word, of state information and delete valuable information against unlawful disclosure, the new word, comma, alteration, comma, destruction or loss applied to all organs of state. Now, I will read it as a new formulation without mentioning what it is. It says, the provisions of this Act with regard to the protection of state information against unlawful disclosure, alteration, destruction, or loss apply to all organs of state. Now, we are bringing that chair just for it to be consistent with the purpose, because this bill relates to protection of state information. And elsewhere in the bill itself, it always makes reference to state information. Hence, we are bringing that formulation to be consistent and in line with the flow of the bill itself.
Honorable
Blue.
Why do you delete valuable? you really want to respond? Does he agree? I think the question should be, do you agree with the proposal?
You know what, this is a meeting and we are debating things. The ANC must persuade me. If I don't understand, I must ask a question. But now members are saying, no, don't respond. So I will keep quiet and reserve my...
No, order. No, you don't have. Would you agree with the amendment is valuable is there? Honorable Kluk, would you agree with the proposed amendment is valuable?
You see, it is not correct. When I'm asking a question, then members must say don't respond.
I call them to order.
Yeah, I dislike it, and it's not correct. Then I won't participate. I am asking a question that can Honorable Chani please explain why he is deleting valuable now from this. It's a simple question, and I want to understand for me to decide, must I support it or must I continue further in debating it.
The explanation to that is a very simple one, that the application of the Act refers to state information, because valuable information is but part of state information. That's the reason, because the deletion, therefore, wants to encompass all information that is spoken about in this bill. That's the reason. Thank you.
No, Chair, it was uncovered. We were trying to make sure that whatever area, whatever area that's not covered would be covered by state information, so that you don't just single out one component of it.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the debate that's taken place around this particular clause. It is our position that it deals with valuable information, and without further debate, we move that it be deleted and it's part of the whole question of valuable information.
So it's agreed. Let's move on. No. It's a proposed insertion.
No, we mustn't listen to each other. You said that in some instances, Honorable Liz will agree with you. Can you proceed?
I'm not sure if there is, from our side on this page, that was the only proposal. I'm not sure if there is anything from other parties on that page. But I want to move to the other page.
Honorable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, for the benefit of the Honorable Chief Whip, we repeat that 3.1, in our view, should be deleted and not amended in the way proposed by Honorable Shane. Move on to 3.2a, line 14. Mr. Chairman, we have a problem with the inclusion of oversight bodies because in Chapter 11, oversight bodies include committees of parliament and many, and there are other oversight
where are we now?
Line 14, 3.2a. We are still on page 8, Mr. Chairman. Okay, and so it currently reads, apply, so this act, the provisions of this act, apply to the security services of the Republic of South Africa, apply to the security services of the Republic, and then we wish to have deleted, and the oversight bodies. Because we don't believe it would be right for a committee of parliament to have classification obligations and authority. This act cannot apply to oversight bodies such as committees of parliament, which are set up in terms of Chapter 11. And I'll give you one example in terms of Section 206.8, and this is in Chapter 11. A committee composed of the cabinet member and members of the executive council responsible for policing must be established to ensure, etc., etc. So if we were to leave oversight bodies in here, that committee would be authorized to classify and declassify, and all the provisions of this act would apply. So we move the words and the oversight body be removed. I have further proposals for this page, but I await your guidance, Mr. Chairman.
Honourable Member, because, you know, maybe just for purpose of my own start in terms of your Chapter 11, because when I read it, as I read it then, I thought of it making reference to the Joint Standing Committee. So you wouldn't want to see the Joint Standing Committee having an oversight role on the processes of classification and declassification. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, an oversight role is exactly what it should be. It should not be the provisions of this Act. In other words, classifying information being and all the other provisions of this Act. Oversight is not covered in this Act. This Act is about the protection of state information. And an oversight committee should have oversight over the application of this Act, but not be part of the application.
Thank you.
Chair, I would have loved Honorable Lee to just direct me to the Constitution and say where in the Constitution does it speak of committees so that I understand him better.
Mr. Chairman,
it speaks of chapter 11.
Section 2068 is one example.
Section?
2068.
2068, okay.
Is one example, but I believe there are other examples, and here perhaps the staff can help us, but there's definitely one example.
Okay.
All right.
Can I now check what I'm saying next? But that doesn't speak of committees of parliament. Speak of cabinet members and MPCs. We do oversight, not them. Now, that's where I really think we disagree. So we unfortunately will have to register our disagreement with Honorable Lisa. It's not true, in fact, and we can move because that's not true. Yes, that's not, you're right, Chair, that's min-mec.
Mr. Chairman, it really doesn't matter in terms of the principle what you call the oversight body, whether you call it min-mec. You referred to the joint committee, and it's set up in terms of Chapter 11. The principle is that you can't have oversight bodies. It's referred to as oversight bodies, not committees of parliament. You can't have that. Mr. Chairman, it doesn't matter. It could be a committee of parliament. And somewhere in here there is, in fact, a committee of parliament, I think, because I think the chair correctly refers to the joint committee. You can't have any oversight bodies participating in the very act which you're going to do oversight over. It's just a contradiction. And I certainly wouldn't like oversight bodies composed of politicians having the authority to do classification. And I think that, you know, very few people would be happy with that.
Can you agree to disagree? That you disagree, you can't agree on this. Are you agreed, Honorable Donald, that you disagree with Honorable Lee? No. Okay, as you agree that you disagree with Honorable Lee, let's leave it and then move forward. Yeah. Okay. Honorable Donald.
Thank you, Chair. As we move forward, now that we get into Chapter 2, we have 2 hours in here. Can you allow us to stretch for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, that proposal stands when we finish Chapter 1. Thank you.
Okay. And then if we can move to 3.2, line 17. We would like to insert, after the words in the Gazette, the following words, after approval by the National Assembly. So let me read that then to you. I'll read it and I'll read it with the insertion as we're proposing. So it may be made applicable by the Minister on good cause shown by publication in the Gazette after approval by the National Assembly to any organ of state or part thereof that applies in a prescribed manner to have these provisions apply. In other words, what we're suggesting. Sorry, my apologies. I will do. Okay, so The words we want to insert are after approval by the NA, National Assembly. And the reasoning for that, Mr. Chairman, is to ensure that the minister does applies his mind correctly, and that Parliament is the ultimate decision-making body of the country. And this is open to some considerable manipulation, if for want of another word, if there is a will to do so. It's not necessarily going to happen, but one needs to close doors as much as possible. And we believe the inclusion of the NA in this process of opting in of departments is good governance.
You didn't even have to mention that. The manipulations, the wild closing jazz and all that. Because as you speak, I mean, just listening to you, I'm asking myself, how do you define Parliament? Yes. You say National Assembly, but later on you say the ultimate is Parliament. Honorable Group, you see, you have raised a very important... You see, Parliament is National Assembly with the NCOP. Now, we can't say National Assembly. We must rather say... Not rather, we must say Parliament. Then I will agree with that. But if it is National Assembly, I won't agree. I will agree with the amendments, proposed amendments. Honorable Chair.
No, Chair,
I don't agree.
If I could be clarified, why this gazette should be treated differently to all other gazettes that are there.
No, time that thing for leave to collect that, we collected because we're debating at the House of Parliament. We're debating in this issue. We should be considered both houses of Parliament.
Why the Honorable Chan is raising the question is precisely because Honorable Kunda made reference to an act. That. Now, why should he be treated differently from this? I think that's what he's asking. Honorable Kunda.
No, thank you, Chair. I think what he's referring in here is not referring to a specific gazette. It's only saying after it has been gazetted, after it must go to Parliament. That's what it's saying. It's not a specific gazette.
Mr. Chairman, you see, it takes an act of Parliament to mandate a minister and to gazette things. And in addition to that, this particular bill, and I know you've tried to guide me here, and I don't know how to say this without appearing to be political in some way, but I mean, the fact is that it's a dangerous bill in the sense that it could be used. I'm not saying it's going to be used. It could be used to cover up. Let's just leave it at that. And so we just believe that before a department is allowed to opt in, it needs to be considered by, we had originally said the NA, but if it's going to be considered by Parliament, that's fine too. So that's what it's about. And we really feel very strongly that it should not be a simple ministerial decision, good cause or no good cause given, whether another organ of state may opt in.
You know, Chairperson, we can't allow that comment to go on without responding to it. You know, Chair, I'll explain why I'm raising this thing, the issue now. Chair, the founding principles of this bill are very sound. They talk about freedoms and so on and so on. Chapter, section 14 of this bill also around the classification processes. It's very clear, sir, very clear what it seeks to do. And if we carry on with this argument that Mr. Lisa is raising, the untrustworthiness of government, of individuals, and so on. Because it clouds the issue. It clouds the issue of the debate around the object of the bill. Because you have enough cover and provisions in the bill to deal with the matters that Honorable Lisa has raised. Now, if you keep on going on arguing, you know, to say that we don't trust them, we don't trust this, we don't trust that, it loses the whole essence of the bill. And we must deal with sentiment. And we must deal with the feelings of individuals. You know, because sir, I'm saying, let us not do that. Let's rather look at the provisions of this bill and satisfy ourselves that they do cover the kinds of issues we would like to cover. You know, because it's going to be problematic to finish this bill if we argue in line what Honorable Lisa is saying. Yeah. I want to caution, Chair, that we want to build, we want to go forward, we want to strengthen service delivery. Let us do so with clear minds. Let us not cloud our minds with other things. You know, Chair, I wanted to raise that, Chair, as a matter of a point that we should keep in mind all the time when we deal with this thing. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, perhaps in the interest of time and to strengthen my colleague here, we are not agreeing with the proposal of Honorable Lees, because the point that he is raising is already covered in the Act, you see. If you go to Chapter 13, Section 54, Subsection 8, you will find that once those regulations are being done and the gazette is ready, it will be taken to Parliament 30 days. So there's no need for, we don't agree that it be included under applications, because Section 13 does exactly what you are proposing. Therefore, we shouldn't be wasting time on this one, because that point already is there. That's why we are saying we wanted to understand why does he want it to be under application and remove it from where it is. Otherwise, if he omitted that part, then I'm bringing his attention to that part that speaks to the issue that he's talking about. Because that Section 54 says any draft regulation made under this section must be tabled in Parliament for approval at least 30 days before the regulation are problematic. I just told you, but you can read the entire section, you will see that is sufficiently covered. Therefore, the application as they stand, we should not put that there. Do you have the Act before you, Honorable Kunta? Do you have it before you? Yeah, Section 54, Subsection 8. Thank you, Chair.
Alright. Can we proceed?
Okay.
Before that, Honorable Lisa.
Mr. Chairman, if we lived in a completely trustworthy and corruption-free and honest world, we wouldn't need any laws at all. Laws are made to control human behavior, unfortunately. And so there is a certain level or degree that one can go to. But the fact is that murder has been a criminal offense in time immemorial, and and there have been laws outlawing it and common law and so on, but it continues. And so what we try to do when we legislate is to make it a combination of consequence and control. And that's what we're trying to do in terms of the control aspect. And to suggest that all ministers will be untrustworthy would be somewhat, it would be, what would the word be? But it's certainly, I think it would be outlandish for me or anyone else to suggest that everyone's untrustworthy. But some are, or may be in the future.
Okay. Agreed. Oh, before we go to chapter 2, you still have something? Okay.
Chairman 3-2, line 16, we would request that after the words on good cause shown, that's on line 16, still page 8, 3-2, that the we add the words that the application of the Act is required in order to prevent demonstrable harm to national security. So we narrow it down to ensure that the Act, which I believe is generally accepted to deal with national security in this instance, is clarified in this particular paragraph. So if I read if I were to read the paragraph after the insertion, it would read, may be made applicable by the minister on good cause shown that the application of the Act is required in order to prevent demonstrable harm to national security by publication in the Gazette, etc. In other words, so we're saying that other organs of state simply can't opt in for any reason other than it's being required to prevent harm to national security.
What I read into that, there seems to be a shift. Can we just read it again?
Chairman, section 3 refers to the application of the Act and the application of these provisions. So, may be made applicable by the minister, in other words, the provisions of this Act, on good cause shown that the application of this Act is required in order to prevent demonstrable harm to national security by publication in the Gazette to any organ of state or part thereof that applies in the prescribed manner to have those provisions applied to it.
Chair, perhaps Honourable Lee should expatiate and indicate as to what informs that, because to me it's now that will bring the limitation in terms of the application of the Act, and we should not confuse the application and the object of the Act. You see. Now, if you are to restrict the application to a level where it should apply to the demonstrable, I missed the other part. But really, if you could just there's a shift, as the chair says, but you would understand what informs that before we can even do other things. Because it seems to be narrowing the application, if you are talking the application. Hence my point that we should not confuse the object
of this bill and the application of it.
Chairman, thank you for John Ochane for seeking clarification. You see, the bill already defines who the act applies to. The state security agencies as defined in Chapter 11, if I'm correct, and I'm open to correction from the official or anyone. But it then gives provision for the application of the act to apply to other organs of state who are not defined already in there. And it's been very narrowed down in the bill to the state security agencies, police and so on. So what we're saying is that the emphasis of the bill has already been narrowed down to national security. And therefore, if another organ of state wishes to opt into the provisions of the bill, then it too must do so only on the basis that there is a threat or to prevent harm to national security. And so we believe that falls in line with the whole intent of the bill and would prevent organs of state opting in for reasons other than national security, which we believe would not be appropriate.
Even still, it's still not convincing, really, because you see those concerns that Honorable Liz is talking about find expression under conditions for classification and declassification, the do's and the don'ts, under what conditions you must classify information, and you cannot classify information for what purpose. So, and there it's well elaborated. It covers a number of things to address the concern that is raising. I really would think that the section I'm referring to, if Honorable Lee read all that section, you will realize that, like the previous one, those concerns are well addressed there. So there's no need to make the changes again to that in the manner that he's proposing. You see. If he can really apply his mind on that particular section, then I think his concerns are sufficiently addressed there, because the act is clear as to what under the circumstances and under what conditions he cannot classify information. It has got nothing to do with that particular point. So, again, I would still argue that his concerns are well addressed under that part, and we don't agree with that formulation. Thanks, Chair.
No, I think we agree to disagree. Because I thought Honorable Mazosi was intervention really attempted to assist the process. That let's move away from the over suspicion. Let's look at our processes as processes that assist us, man, and the country. But if we are going to continue, it will be very difficult to persuade one another. So we are supposed to then deal with Chapter 2. You'll have to guide me on how to proceed and until what time are we going to proceed. Honorable Borot.
Chair, if we ask for a break and then we could, after that we continue, and I suggest that we continue until at least we cover Chapter 7, and we from Chapter 7 we decide from there if we want to continue, but we suggest that after covering Chapter 7. Thank you.
Honorable Bloom and Gunda.
No, Chairperson. I wouldn't agree with that up until Chapter 7. You see, Chairperson, there's also other
very serious business that we must, that we have already planned. You see, the meeting was from 2 to 5, and I will propose that we stick to that time, because there's other things personally that I must go and see from 5 o'clock. Thank you very much.
I would like to agree, Honourable Bloom, that can we rather than do it tomorrow earlier, start earlier, or a working later tomorrow, whatever the problem might be, but tomorrow morning is caucus. But going to chapter 7, the way we're going here tonight, we'll be leaving 11 o'clock tonight.
You have a problem of leaving at 11?
No, I don't have a problem of leaving at 11, I'm just saying. Okay. We can decide after the break.
Or do you want a breakfast and then come back? And then spend 20 minutes just discussing where are we? Okay. Let's take our 5 minutes break. Honorable members, we are back. With chapter 2 now. Honorable Borat.
Thank you, Chair. On chapter 2, we are saying that the chapter 2, the caption is General Principle of State Information. we suggest that, General Principle, yes, we suggest that we start with the General Principles of State Information. That says, We remove 4 and 5 and put in 6 as 4.1. That's the first thing. I have another thing still on that part, but I don't know if we have to wait then. Okay, let me continue. And what we do is that after that...
Are we deleting?
Yes, we remove that part. Up there, state information may, in terms of this act.
All right, I see.
So we remove that, and to make sure that there is consistency, we start with general principle of state information, which is there, and then we'll go further. I'll go further.
Honorable Bloom.
Let me understand, because I want to support a thing, or I want to disagree. Is the proposal here that state information, that form, must be deleted? Then protected information, that 5, must also be deleted. And then that general principle of state information, then we start there. Then that chapter 2 starts there. That is the proposal.
Okay. Honorable Lees and then Kula.
Chairman, I'm concerned about the deletion, and I really haven't thought this through, so I'm sure I'll get some help. On 5.2, there's a kind of a restriction there, which says may be restricted to certain individuals to carry a commensurate security clearance. So is that dealt with elsewhere in the bill? I'm not sure. And then protected information as such. Okay, that's, you know, the 5.1 defines it as valuable information. So I'm quite happy for valuable information to disappear. I've already suggested that. But not forever. It's magic ink. That's it.
Let me say, can Mr. Lee hold his horses? The deletion, there is a reformulation at the end. We are coming with that from that, but we wanted to start with this one. If you can just give us a chance to.
You know, to avoid further confusion. So it's not deletion. You are removing it. It's gonna come in.
Differently.
No, let's deal with
okay.
it as a package.
It's
so
deleted.
That we avoid this kind of confusion.
It's deleted. Let's
read it again. It's deleted.
This part.
Okay.
I think you say we shouldn't confuse them. I was trying to tell them that it's reformulated, but it is going to follow.
That
but
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Deal with it as a package. If you
thank you very much.
You remove it, let it be a remover.
Okay.
If it is deletion, let it be deletion.
Okay.
If it is reconstruction, let it be reconstruction.
Thank you very much.
So that we all move in the same direction.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, we are proposing that we remove state information as 4 and protected information as 5.1 and 2. We start with general. We now put in general principles of state information, which is 4.1. And under that, let me just deal with the whole thing. And in that section 4.1, we have an item G that starts with some confidentiality and secrecy. We are proposing that that first part of G, which is some confidentiality and secrecy, be deleted. And we are going to reformulate it as follows. The protection of certain state information is, however, vital to save lives, da-da-da. It's what is written there. I'm saying that. The protection, okay, for the protection of certain safe information is, however, vital to save lives and enhance to the protection of freedom and security of persons, bring criminals to justice, protect the national security, and to engage in effective government and diplomacy. The deleted words are some confidential and secrecy. We have been saying that this policy is not a secrecy policy. This act is not a secrecy act, and that is why we are bringing in the protection of certain information to make consistent. As I continue on the same chapter, after J, Chair, which is 4.1, we have in 4.2. We have formulated now 4.2. On 4.2, I am going to be very slow we are bringing it in. We are bringing it in. Okay. 4.2, we say, 2. State information may, in terms of this act, be protected against unlawful disclosure, alteration, destruction, or loss. State information may, in terms of this act, be protected against unlawful disclosure, alteration, destruction, or loss. 3. State information in material or documented form may be protected by way of classification and, state information in material or documented form may be protected by way of classification and, number 4 now, which is the last one, access to state information may be restricted. J. to certain individuals who carry commensurate security clearance. I was just saying, Chair, that next time, just as they are thinking over what I've just said, we must have that thing, reflect our things there so that everybody is able to read whatever we insert. So the Secretariat must arrange that. Because I know I'll be asked to repeat. I'm just saying that. So those are the changes that we are bringing to Chapter 2.
Honorable Blue.
Again, please, and repeat. You know, can't we say, Chair, the members who is bringing amendments or proposed amendments must put it on paper. I really don't want to be destructive or opposed to it. But if I'm having something here, then I can at least read and take a decision. But it's very difficult to have this type of amendment. You know, as Chair, but let me ask a question now. What is the reason for deleting 4 and 5?
That is why I asked the question earlier on, whether if it is a deletion, rearrangement, reconfigure, or whatsoever. Because listening now to Honorable Borodo, I don't see a deletion. Yes. We don't lose what has been removed at the beginning. It does that it's put as an in a different form. But the body of it, the body is still the same. That's the way, whether if I have you wrong. So it's not deleting anything.
Yeah, well, I think we have come to an agreement that is a rearrangement with some amendments
okay.
That change in form.
Hello,
can I still ask or request documentation with the formulation of that the chapter? I can't apply my mind now to give answer to this.
You are tired, sir.
I'm not tired.
Okay.
No, just don't be shy. Just open.
I'm waking up until 10 in the evening and you are already
at home. Okay. That is the proposal as put before us. What are we saying to those? Yeah, no, you are clear. It's no longer a request now, you are pleading.
Yes.
Honorable Kunda.
Chair, I want to just ask, must we make a decision now on this? Or can we wait to see how, because I've written some things down as Honorable Brother has just said, how they rectify and rewrite the thing and restructure the thing. It will be quite interesting to see, because I've seen where she wants to put it in. And there is some agreement from my side that you remove that certain parts of that, like 4 and a certain part of 5, and I see what she meant, but it would be nice if you can just read it there. But that's why I'm asking, must I make a decision right now? That's all.
I thought that's what we've been doing. We agree and move forward. Honorable Lee?
Chairman, the reformulation of this chapter is not an issue that we wish to disagree with. It's simply moving the paragraphs from one point in that chapter to another. However, in that process, we don't achieve the original amendments that we would like to see, and again, it's got to do largely with our quest for the removal of valuable information. So if one were to formulate after the deletion of 5.1, we would be happy. We would also need, in that process of removing any reference to or application of valuable information, to remove the words in 4, the end of 4, alteration, destruction, or loss, which apply, in our opinion, to valuable information. Mr. Chairman, then we've kind of moved to the next page, but I'm not sure whether I should move on to the next page.
Just to quickly check on my notes to understand you. Are you saying you are opposed to the protection of state information against unlawful disclosure, destruction, and alteration?
Mr. Chairman, it's not quite as simple as that. I'm sorry, I had my microphone on. It's state information which requires protection. We're not talking about classification here. We're talking about valuable information again, and I repeat, that's our thrust throughout the bill, is wherever we find this reference which actually applies to valuable information, we'll ask for it to be removed, and it would otherwise remain if the whole question of valuable information remains. So it's not a question of saying that we don't want information that is a danger to national security not to be protected. Of course we do, but it doesn't apply in this particular section.
The way I understood Honorable Borod, that reformulation speaks to exactly what you're saying, that state information must be protected again. It must be protected against destruction, loss, alteration, blah, 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 blah. If I have to quote it, blah, blah. Now, are we saying that we are opposed to the protection of state information against destruction, loss, alteration, and all?
Chairman, it doesn't say classified state information.
Okay.
And so that is the difference.
Okay. Honorable Bloom? Something else, what Honorable Broto has mentioned. Certain individuals or persons can it's brought as well. Certain persons. If she can clarify that one. Certain. No, let you read it again, please.
It's the chairperson. What we are removing is some confidentiality and secrecy. And we are saying the protection of certain state information is, however, vital to save lives. And then it continues, if he wants me to read, to enhance, to protect the freedom and security of persons, bring criminal to justice, protect national security, and to engage in effective government and diplomacy. That's the reformulation. What is it?
Where do you mention value?
When?
Okay,
I didn't mention valuable
here. Okay.
The valuable has been removed, as you have been saying, because what I got is that Mr. Liz is worried about
the
word valuable. And you explained it correctly when you said, from our reformulation on 4.2, valuable has been removed, but there must be protection of unlawful disclosures, alterations, distractions, and loss. That's what you're saying.
Honorable Kunda.
No, Chair, I think Honorable Groth was right when she said that's how G reads.
But when she comes to 4.2.4, access to certain individuals, that's the question, Honorable Bloom. Yeah, just read that one. That's what Honorable Bloom is referring to, access to certain individuals. That's the vacant certificate. Yeah, four.
Access to state information may be restricted to certain individuals, okay, who carry a commensurate security clearance. And maybe when we talk about this, we are to commence with the security clearance. I think we are talking about those vetted. Let's switch up.
You see, Chairperson, sorry.
You make the mistake. Oh, no, no, no.
No, Chairperson, you know, I don't want to support vague things. You see, certain information, certain individuals is very vague. And really, I need an explanation around that, because I don't want really to support a thing that is vague. Chief.
You see, Chair, not everybody would be allowed to carry information. Some people, if we don't use certain, we can even say some people would be those people who would then do the work of carrying all those. You see, Honorable Member, through your Chair. If you take an ordinary citizen who is just walking in the street, that person is not the person who must carry that. Every responsible person, particularly your security agent people, have responsibility. So it would be those responsible people who had to do that, not just anyone. And I would assume not a constable in the police service, for instance, would be seized with those.
Maybe the way I understood Honorable Boroto, she even said they must, those vetted. Okay. Honorable Chan.
No, Chair, if I captured the discussion well, it would seem that the problem under 252, because it appears as if Honorable Roto is bringing something completely new. The formulation in the bill as it stands is almost the same like what she's saying. The only difference there is that section 5, subsection 2, she splits it into two sentences, two sections. Because it says state information in material or documented form which requires protection against unlawful disclosure may be protected by way of classification, full stop. That is a section 2. And then the following section takes that further. Access to, instead of saying such information, it says access to state information may be restricted to certain individuals who carry the commensurate security clearance. It's still the same formulation as it is now in the bill, except that you are splitting that paragraph into two subsections. You see what I'm talking about, or
okay? No, I was
just saying if you see what I'm talking about. Okay, thank you. That is the crux of this bill. You can't say certain people with information. We must specify in the bill. You see, that's why
all the people are crying about this bill. You are leaving it. You are leaving it open, and that is the crux of this whole bill. You don't defend people when people are. You see, if you are saying this and this and this, and then I will agree. But now to leave it certain people, certain information, that is the problem with this whole thing.
The way, and I want to repeat the presenter of the principal argument. You see, this certain individuals that he made mention to, she says they must carry a commensurate security clearance. And even made an example of saying that they must be, in other words, they must be vetted. Currently, not everybody has that access to state information. And no, we don't, I don't see anything that would be, I don't know, because I didn't want to be part of the discussion necessarily. But the way it is structured, the way it is structured and the motivation to that, it says these people must be vetted. These individuals will have access to this information, will have to be vetted. I don't know whether you... I don't understand you well, Honorable Proto.
You have it, Chairperson.
Honorable Bloom. Because we are debating and to disagree to disagree. Yes. And as you do that, because I know you've got a wealth of experience in this field of security, because you were quite central in a security cluster in your previous life. Look at it also in the context of certain things that you were privy to, whether if anybody had in access to that information. You were vetted, no? No. Yes. That is what I'm saying. And even now as we speak, you can't disclose that information. Yes. Now what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is that let's read what Honorable Boroto is saying. Honorable members, let's read what Honorable Boroto is proposing within the context of your own previous life.
See, you must not make this thing simple, as if it is simple. You see, certain individuals, we must specify. Don't make it broad. That's what I'm saying. Daniel Bloom is vetted. And Daniel Bloom will die with the secrets that he's having. But, you see, a journalist is sitting with that information. You can't say it is the same as Daniel. We must not simplify this thing. The second one is certain people, certain information. You can't.
Okay, I hope you love it.
You know, sir, when you formulate a law, you would want general principles to apply, so that the implementers of that policy are then able to implement it. For instance, the issue you are raising about individuals relates to the implementing agent appointing those people to be responsible for the issues that are raised in the act, in the bill. And therefore you can't say now let it be so and so. Because you must allow, you know, these to be implemented.
implemented in a manner that is going to help service delivers, you know. Because if you want us to say today that so and so is the individuals we're talking about, it might restrict us. You know, let allow it to flow such that we are able to implement the principles contained in this bill, and rather not restricted to individuals. You know, that's my plea, you know, because we are running into another process now that is going to be very, very restrictive. Thank you.
Agreed? Chairperson, let's park it, because I will not agree with this thing.
Okay. Would you be comfortable to see the word vetted individual? Can you give us an example on how to resolve this thing?
Chairperson, I am repeating what I'm saying. That let us specify who is this certain individual, certain information. You see, certain information is broad. Certain individuals is broad. You are clustering everybody under that certain.
Okay. No, I understand you. Okay. Let me take the last round on the subject matter, and then we take a decision whether if we let me take Honorable Lees, Honorable Lechani, Honorable Donovan. In that order.
Mr. Chairman, if it is indeed the word certain that is creating the difficulty, then it could be simply removed and it would not change the meaning. Because what it's saying is that information may be restricted to individuals who carry a commensurate security clearance. In other words, there are different levels of security clearance that one gets. And information is, in terms of the bill, classified in different levels as well, top secret and so on. So some individuals may be classified to deal with or to have access to top secret and others may not. Now, the question, I suppose, remains when you talk about individuals, perhaps one should then say operatives or employees of state security agencies, and perhaps that's where Honorable Blum is headed, and to remove certain and then narrow down which individuals, but not to the extent of naming people, but defining where they reside in terms of their status for classified information, not where their home address is, but perhaps that would be a way of dealing with this particular one, which we could all live with.
No, Chair, I think Honorable Blum, in that formulation, indeed there is where it refers to certain individuals, and it qualifies what type of individuals. And Honorable Lees has indicated that we could be individuals who are cleared, but not all of us can have access to all classified information. We will go according to, you have just indicated that you are classified top, so meaning your level of access to information, if you may just make a rough example, will be more than the level on which I can access if I'm vetted as well. Now, but there's no way in this formation where it talks of certain information. It talks about certain individuals who will have access to classified information. There's no certain information. It's only certain individuals. And I think Honorable Liz is trying to give explanation. But again, we are making a law here. As we make the law, there's no way that everything will have to give details of it. That's why there is courts that give effect to interpretation of the law, you see. But if you are to engage in a situation where we now say, let's list and bundle certain and say it should be the Minister of Intelligence should be there. Boris, that list, it will now be taking, making nonsense of the process of making the law itself, Honorable Blue. That belongs to the interpretation. Remember that any law in the country is finally interpreted by the courts.
No, Chair, you know, no amount of words will now convince Honorable Blue. Because we all, and like he understands who is vetted and the ranks, because this has to do with ranks as well. Even if I were to be vetted, I would have been different to somebody else who's also vetted. So I think we were really moving around now. We will just have to disagree if it comes to that push that here we're not in agreement again. But parking and what else will it do? Because it's not going to change how he feels. It's not going to change how he feels. All we're saying is certain individuals and with certain classified information. And I made a good example here. In your police service, for instance, there's a big difference between what you would call even a colonel to a constable. Those are two distinct positions. The one is far junior, the other is superior to the other. So definitely, even in vetting, you would have those two. And that would be the kind of individuals with certain information. And of course, not just information, but classified information. Thank you, Chair. And I propose that we move, Chair. We agree. You just put it to the House whether we agree or not, and we move.
Included in the rest of six. So in other words, it may well be understood to be the trumping. Trumping is a bridge term, in case people don't understand. In other words, it takes precedence over any other factors, such as the transparency factors. And so what I would propose there would be that the amended to read may and not, beg your pardon, should not rather than may not. I'm not sure that that sufficiently deals with that one, but I'd like to put that as a possible amendment and let the department come back to us on that.
So you should read as
should not compromise. Yeah. Any disagreement? Not that I agree, but I know for a fact that in lawmaking they use may more than should and shall. That's why there was no must. May is the word used. But let's test it.
Test it.
Agreed. Chapter 3.
Mr. Chairman, it's my perennial. It deals with our decision whether or not to eliminate valuable information. There are references in that chapter. We should deal with them in due course if we get to the point where we agree to remove valuable information. And Mr. Chairman, just for quick procedure, the same applies to chapter 4. Chapter 4 in its entirety would be deleted if we remove valuable information.
That's true. Okay, chapter 5.
Disagree.
Oh, we are disagreeing on chapter 4 on the issue of the deletion of the entire chapter. Chapter 5, valuable, is there any? No hand. Oh, Honorable Blumen and Honorable Lee. Yeah.
Mine is on method of classifying.
No. We are there. No, thank you very much, Chair. From my side, A. On that 11 most, ne? And now A, I will propose that we are having an amendment to that clause, and it will read like this: a classification authority has identified state information in terms of this act as state information, and then that on careful consideration and sound legal grounds warrants classification.
Thanks, Chair.
that is our and it's open for debate.
Okay.
That's a proposal.
Yeah.
There's a proposal for 11A to read as sound legal opinion and careful consideration. Agreed? Disagreed? Agreed? Okay. We're moving now to chapter 5. Page Oh, okay. Honorable
Chairman, we move to Chapter 5, Clause 12.3. Chairman, the state information may be classified as top secret if the information is sensitive information, the disclosure of which is likely or could reasonably be expected to demonstrably cause serious or irreparable harm to the national security of the Republic. We believe that the definition should not be either or, that it should be and, that the should read could reasonably be expected to demonstrably cause serious and irreparable harm to the national security in the Republic. And it really is simply a repeat of two, but we need the or to be replaced with and, so that it's more tightly defined.
What harm would it cause if serious or is removed? So we agreed, serious or removed. Honorable members, are we together?
Yes.
Are we agreed?
Yes.
That serious or we delete?
No.
No, I'm proposing.
No. Yeah.
Okay. All right, agreed. Let's move then to the next page. Honorable Borat.
Chair, clause 14 on page 11. We propose that 2.8 secrecy, the word secrecy be removed and put protection of state information. Is justifiable only when it is necessary to protect national security. That's the first one. Protection of state information is justifiable only when it is necessary to protect national security. We remove the word secrecy. That's the proposal. The second proposal, Chair, is B1. B Roman figure 1 says conceal an unlawful act or omission. We want to restructure it in a way of saying conceal. We come with new words, a new word. Conceal corruption or any, and remove the N, or any unlawful act or omission, incompetence, inefficiency, or administrative error. So we have added corruption or any, and removed N. And I don't know if they heard me. I can
see. Can you read the whole?
Okay. Chair, only on B or the starting from 2A?
No, I think secrecy is got
it. Oh, they've got that. Okay, B, 1. Originally it said conceal an unlawful act or omission, incompetence, inefficiency, or administrative error. Now we are saying we are adding a new word there. Actually, three new words. We say conceal corruption or any unlawful act or omission, incompetence, inefficiency, or administrative error. The new three words are corruption or any. Thank you, Chair.
Just to amplify the insertion there, because remember in the public hearing, The whole issue of corruption was raised by many people. And we would want to support the anti-corruption campaign, and we would want to see in the bill the words corruption coming explicit, because anybody classifying now information knowing that it is hiding corruption, then that person be dealt with, because it deals with the conditions for classification. It's very clear, unambiguous. This is the point we want to convey in this bill, that we would want to see it more clarified, so to speak, so that there is no ambiguity. Because remember, previously it was implied. It would talk about unlawful acts and so on and so on. And now we want the word corruption included, so that it is explicit. Hence the proposal, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, you know, there's no one, I think, in this room, certainly, who would argue against trying to eliminate corruption. However, and so therefore the amendment is, can't be faulted in that way. However, in, an unlawful act or omission covers all unlawful acts or omissions, which includes corruption. Corruption is not lawful. And so by putting it in doesn't change the paragraph at all. So, you know, one could argue that we could start putting in all sorts of unlawful acts to be able to define it more closely and say, you know, conceal theft from banks, or, you know, you can start listing a lot of things. But the fact is that corruption is a serious problem which we all want to deal with. It is already an unlawful act. However, if the emphasis needs to be put, then let's put the emphasis.
I will really welcome this new proposal. But we are also having a wording on it, and it is close to what the ANC is saying. I will read it, but I don't have any problem. I welcome. Now, our wording is saying conceal an unlawful act or omission, incompetence, inefficiency, irregular expenditure. Our word is now irregular expenditure, misuse of state resources, action unbecoming of public representatives, administrative error or maladministration. That is our wording onto this clause. Thanks.
And I would take it that if you add all those things up, it equals to corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So it's agreed. Honorable group,
we are just broadening it. We agree.
Honorable group, it's agreed. Nobody says you are wrong. Nobody differs with you. All that everybody is saying, that you add up all this plus equals to.
No. Chairperson, are we going to use this wording as well? Because we must incorporate it. And then I will agree. Because it adds up to corruption. But let's specify. You see, irregular expenditure, misuse of state resources, it's part of corruption. But if we say corruption, I want to repeat, I fully agree with that. But let's put this thing in.
See, Honorable Group, my worry is just that we are going to trap ourselves, or we are going to be trapped in dealing with concepts than really dealing with the key issue. Because you see now, if you argue that irregular expenditure is corruption, somebody may come up and say, no, not irregular expenditure, wasteful expenditure. That is corruption, you know. So let's not bog ourselves with concepts and wanting to contest which one is the most correct one. The enemy number one that we, all of us, are saying in this particular committee, as proposed, is corruption. What has come out there in the public hearings as motivated by Honorable Mazosiwe is that, in the general sense, the impression created out there is that this bill seeks to hide corruption and it's going to send people to jail if they disclose corruption and all that. Now, what the ANC is saying is that we want it to be there because it's one thing that has not been there. We want it to be there. And the way I understood Honorable Lee, not taking away the comments earlier or preceding, is confirmation. But the understanding is that it would be correct for us to have it. And I didn't hear you saying that, no, let's take out corruption and put in maladministration. You are saying corruption, which is the umbrella of all the things that we have raised. Except that it is not proposed of except irregular expenditure. Because irregular expenditure is another thing. I mean, if you go to let me not open that can of one. It belongs somewhere. Yeah. We'll debate it or we'll deal with it. Because it's a concept. Agreed on corruption.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. Honorable Blue?
You see, many a times I have heard from government officials and whoever to say, no, that was not corruption. You must not classify this as corruption and this as corruption. No, don't do that. You see, I fully agree with let us put corruption. But you yourself is saying all these things is the umbrella of corruption. Let's specify it.
Except for, because there's a law that governs this thing, that explains this thing. There are reports, the Auditor General would, that's why I'm saying, let's not even get to that. Let's agree that the main issue here is to say to our people, we went to you, we listened to you as we went to the provinces. Your greatest fear was corruption. And here we are putting it in as members of this committee, having listened to you. That's what we're saying. Yes. Okay, let's move on, honorable members. Any other matter under 14?
My understanding, Mr. Chairman, is we're on page 11 and not 14.
No, I was on section 14.
No, we're dealing with page 11.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, clauses 13.6 to 13.9 are seriously problematic in the sense that they...
Clauses?
13.6 to 13.9. One of the foundations, if you like, premises. 13.6 to 13.9, it happens to
subheading authority to classify stadium.
It moves from one page to the next.
Yeah.
Chairman, one of the intents of the bill is to ensure that people of a senior nature, departmental heads, in fact, are the ones who are tasked with doing the classification. This allows members of the security agencies services determined by their levels of access to information and so on, to classify information. It then does require that this be I'm just trying to find the word. The head of an organ of the state retains accountability and for any decision as there. Remember, it must submit classified, seven says, must submit classified state information to the head of an organ of state in question for confirmation. So what it's saying is that there's, even junior levels in these particular services may classify information. However, they do have to then submit it for confirmation. When? 10 years' time? 2 weeks' time? Doesn't say. So we would urge this section to be redrafted and to put time limits onto that particular seven. If there's no agreement to ensure that it is departmental heads who make final decisions about classification and not the employees and operatives of the security services department. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Honorable Mazosi.
Chairperson, you know, once more, I the one section I have a passion with is section 14. Because contrary to the views expressed in the public hearing and so on, if you look at section 14 as is now, or as amended, or as including the proposed amendment, you see it really classification is not an easy matter, and. It's not going to be an easy matter. It's going to be done in exceptional cases. And this is something that has not come out in the media, in the portrayal of the whole bill. And I would like us to really pay attention to it, because it's the essence of this bill is around the classification process and so on. And I'm saying, Chairperson, it would take people who are brave to classify wrongly when the guidelines are so clear as to what needs to be classified. You know, I'm saying this because, like I say, it has not come out in the media. This section was completely ignored and not dealt with by anyone who was speaking against the bill. And yet we have such beautiful clauses and such beautiful formulations in order to make sure that we maintain democracy and we do service delivery in the manner in which we want to in terms of the constitution. Thank you, sir. I wanted to make that comment, saying let us support it. Let us support it. Let us move forward, sir.
Okay. Before we agree or disagree, another issue has been brought to my attention that we've got only one bus left that is of 6 o'clock, and it's already 6:15. So members will miss that bus. Are we going to go to chapter 6? Honorable Bloom?
I've indicated to the other members that I will stay up until 6 because they have asked me, and it's 6 o'clock now. I think that we
that we must really stop here. That's my proposal. But Chair, to be on the, can I continue?
Are we agreed? Or what is the suggestion that we're putting? This is not another logistical matter that we don't have much control over. Honorable.
Chair, you know, I'm going to talk on the logistical part, not on the one of Mr. Bloom, because he has asked. On the logistical part, we always have here even study groups up to 8 o'clock and so on. It is this committee that must make sure that members reach their homes, even if it's after 7 or after 8. It is always arranged, Parliament allows for that. If the reason for our adjourning would be that is not correct, because we always have means to do that, to transport our people. I'm not going to go into the one, Yaga, Honorable Bloom, that is something separate. But, you know, I'm looking at, we looking at the 17th, and we agreed that we must push as much as we can, so that by Tuesday next week we are able to report. Can't we just try and compromise and allow the processes of Parliament where special arrangements are made? It's not the first time this happens. It always happens. Thank you.
No, you know, sometimes if we want to raise issues, it is correct. But if you say always, I wouldn't remember when last did you have a problem of transport.
Okay.
It would not be correct
let
to
me,
say
let,
always.
Let me correct
if
myself.
It's a, if it's a genuine logistical issue, yes, of course. Study groups, there's a standard arrangement with the bus company, because study groups are standardly arranged with the office of the Chief Whip of the National Assembly. For today, the issue was that we were going to go until it, but unfortunately, whoever is responsible for that, it's not a committee thing. And I would not want for us to believe that it's a committee issue.
Let me know, who needs transport to where, so that we can then immediately look at what we will be doing. Are there any members who need to be taken to a park where we get transport? So that we don't debate.
Okay.
We just make sure that
okay. You need transport.
You need
transport. Somebody's writing to him. Okay. Acacia,
Laboria. How many Acacias? Let me. How many Acacia Park people are here?
Two.
All right. Laboria Park?
Four. Huh? Yeah.
Four Acacia.
Laboria.
Laboria, who needs transport?
Okay. Let's proceed then. Before you leave.
You must excuse me. I say up and down. Sorry? Yeah, thank you very much, Chair.
Chairman, yeah, I'm concerned now about the process. The Honourable Bloom, who in terms of the Section 5, 75, is our co-person here is leaving. I don't think it's appropriate that we should proceed, quite honestly, and I too have got other commitments that I need to go and do, and I think that it's inappropriate for us to continue, given that the meeting was scheduled to end at 5 p.m.
members want to propose that we attend. That's another thing.
Let it be.
But you see, you mustn't say we will lose whatever. You see, the majority, Section 75 says the majority must then continue. We see the majority here. We don't want to abuse that. We really don't want. Yeah, I think we want to do this in good spirit. But no one has ever said we will continue till 5. The arrangement and agreement we had last week was we'd try and work till late. No one had ever opposed that last week.
I will propose that left agenda.
On a point of clarification, the notice for this meeting, which I have in front of me, reads time, 1400 hours to 1700 hours.
Why do you like to argue over such things like this? I mean, okay, fine, the Honorable Donambert said, if that is the case, so let it be. There is a proposal on the table. Is there any second to the proposal?
Same thing,
Viv.
The accountant.
Honorable Liz. Oh, were you just seconding the proposal that you had just? Honorable members, I personally think that we are doing very well. I think we are doing very well. If tomorrow we can, is it possible to start earlier tomorrow?
No.
I'm trying to persuade the committee for a different direction. If you keep on shouting it down, no. I mean, it's not on. Okay. No, who chief now? Okay.
This thing of many chiefs is not right. I must be the only chief here. You see? I am. You see, in Antioquia, there's one chief whip, and for now, it's me. Die with that. No, don't. Chairperson, do you know what I want to raise? No, Chairperson, do you know what I want to raise? I'm making a proposal. You know, I disagree with what was seconded. But let me move from that. Note my disagreement with that first proposal that we attend. One. Two, I am now making a concrete proposal for tomorrow. We start at 2 o'clock. And we finish at 7. Oh, no, 7 in fact is early. I want to propose that we finish at least at 8 o'clock. And I'm not serious, sir. 8 o'clock at least. That's the list. We can go beyond 8, but I'm proposing 2 to 8. Everything arranged, transport, food, everything. Breaks as well. 2 to 8 tomorrow.
I think the idea is supported.
No, I said 8.
Honorable members, we are agreed. And you see, don't tie yourself, 7 o'clock. What if by 4 o'clock we are done?
No, it's okay. That would be super.
Yes. And I don't think that you cannot do that. You can. You know? No. Alright, the meeting stands at 10. Thank you very much. I'm not a consistent concept.
I was doing it.